Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Blue Yuri Boy.
If you said old school.
Blue, you're my boy!
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Dave Rubin in studio. Always glad to see Dave Rubin. The Rubin Report. Subscribe on YouTube and get weekly videos. And there's an event coming up, Long Beach. That'll be tonight as you hear this with Jordan Peterson, Long Beach Terrace Theater. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. Good to see you, my friend.
Carolla, it's good to be here. I just want to say your hair looks spectacular.
Yours is quite majestic as
there's
well.
There's a lot of spray in there. This Oribe, you know about this stuff?
What?
It's just a very intense spray. My girl got me on it.
Your girl?
My girl.
Oh, okay.
My hair girl.
Gotcha.
By the way, I see you guys left me a number two pencil here.
Yeah. We
which
did.
Makes me feel that I should
be taking
fill out a Scantron.
Scantron, something or other. But they still doing the Scantron?
No, and my kids will never know the quiet satisfaction of being in the presence of the Scantron correction machine and having all the things pass through. And it's like, each noise it made was a wrong answer.
Yeah.
And like having Cynthia Nagatani's go through and have it go pop, pop. And then having mine go through and having it go
ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Like it tilt comes up on the side of it.
Sounded like Cardi B.
Yeah, like it was weird. It was like pop, 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 pop. I was like, I must got every answer wrong on this. Okay, you.
Yes.
I love watching your videos. We had that. I've been on your show. I enjoyed it. We had the discussion of the sort of breakthrough with Larry Elder. And Larry Black, a conservative AM talk show host, very interesting guy. I think you'd have to call him intellectually honest because he backs a lot of Trump-related stuff, and then he rails against a lot of Trump-related stuff. There's a few guys out there. I feel like you're that way. Ben Shapiro will rail against stuff he doesn't like and then praise stuff he does like. I think it's just being intellectually honest, having an opinion.
It's almost like you could have several thoughts on a bunch of different things and you can express them to people. And then people, you're not going to get this part. This is the craziest part. People will agree with some of those opinions and disagree with some. And then over the course of time, you might alter some of your opinions as new information comes your way.
Come on, Dave.
It's crazy.
He's not making any sense.
I know.
It's nuts. And in many ways, according to Twitter, that makes me a Nazi. But I just think it's the right way to be.
I can't the hubris.
Let the hate flow in.
What a world. Having a nuanced thought makes you a Nazi. Usually it was the opposite.
Yeah. No.
You only one way of thinking Nazis, and you did not divert.
Nazi starts with N. Nuance starts with N.
Oh,
you can see where this is going.
That's it.
I should say this half of the show is brought to you by MedMen at MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. And TrueCar, go to TrueCar.com and download that app. Castrol Edge, Titanium Strong for maximum engine performance. And Geico at Geico.com. So Larry came in. Larry sat down with you. Larry's a guy who has a lot of stats at the tip of his tongue and makes very good points. And it's hard to have you can have an emotional argument with him, but he won't have an emotional argument with you.
No,
he'll
he
just
will not.
Fill in every one of your, in between your tears, he'll throw a whole bunch of data at you that makes you wrong.
Yeah.
And so you then did what an intellectually honest person would do, which is you listen to these things and you went, oh, maybe there is some room to fashion some thoughts that were, that may fly in the face of thoughts I had before. And I think the first thing is, I'm on a roll with this because it bugs me that people fight against good ideas because they have some ego or some skin in the game.
Yeah.
When somebody comes up to you and says, this is the way you're doing it, here's a better way to do it, don't push back and go, this is how I do it, now get out of my face. Say thank you if, in fact, they're giving you a better way to do it.
Yeah. Well, we're all getting whittled down to our worst selves. I think that's what's happening. It has a lot to do with social media in general, but we're all acting on our worst instincts all the time. The second someone says something to you, you hate them, it then pushes you back to your own original position and all that. And that moment with Larry, which, as you said, we've talked about before, I went back into the control room. It was when I was at Aura TV over here. I went back into the control room. We had a really big staff, about 20 people, and a couple of the producers were like, we got to cut that. We got to cut that from the show. And I was like, no, that was a learning moment. And I view it truly as the worst professional moment for me and the best at the exact same time. It was the worst because I entered a fight without being armed with facts. And it was the best because I changed after and I'm better now. And that's what it's all about.
Well, I believe that if, you know, you look at it as sort of entering a fight, and if you think of it as a fight where you don't really have to train or prepare, meaning enter with facts, because at some point in round five,
right,
I'm going to call this guy a Nazi.
Exactly.
And then he's going to have to go to his corner and give up.
That'll be that.
Or the ref's going to call it because I'm going to accuse him of being a misogynist or homophobic or xenophobic or something. Then why train for the fight? Why go through all the work of training for a fight if at some point when this guy's pummeling you, you just pull out this secret card and it says, I'll call you racist or homophobic or whatever it is, and then they have to quit and go back to their stool or they get their hand raised. Why would you train?
It's a great point because that is exactly what the reason we're seeing this sort of implosion on the left right now is because for years they were able to pretty much silence everybody that disagreed with them. And if anyone sort of wandered out of that little thing, racist, homophobe, bigot, blah, 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 blah. Then the Trump thing happened. That sort of flipped the power structure. And suddenly these people who were silenced for a long time, who maybe weren't bigots or racist or homophobes, but maybe just wanted lower taxes or some other policy, whatever it might be, suddenly they started winning. And because the left had owned everything for so long, Hollywood, the media, the political establishment, everything that goes on cable news except for Fox News, everything – now these people who have been winning for so long, they don't know how to react in normal time anymore. So this is why half the celebrities that you probably know are now all having mental breakdowns because they are freaking out because they don't own it anymore. So all these comics and directors and actors, they become the worst whiny, preachy children because they're not in charge anymore and they can't deal with it. And they don't have ideas because for years they countered ideas by saying you're racist. So they didn't have to do the intellectual work to understand what their ideas actually were. Where do rights come from? I mean, what does it say in the Constitution? What rights are we actually guaranteed and why are we guaranteed those rights? But they don't want to do any of that work because it's a lot easier to just turn to somebody in round five and go, you're racist, so it doesn't matter.
If you could, I mean, it's easy to, we do a sort of path of least resistance as human beings oftentimes. And if you could do that, I do believe the Larry Elders of the world, he's a conservative black man. So he has to train all day, every day. He has to train like he's a member of SEAL Team 6 and they're going in the Bin Laden compound. He can't coast.
Yeah. But now, what does that tell you about who the real racists might be? If this black man, who I now know well, he is a friend of mine, if he truly believes these ideas, and I believe that he does believe them, I don't think this is a show. I don't think he's doing this for clicks or, you know, listens or whatever. if he really believes that, and there's this certain set of people that see a black guy who thinks a little differently than they, often as white people, white liberals, think he should think, that kind of tells you that they're actually the racist, if we're going to throw the racist word around, which I would prefer not to. But you know what I mean? Every time a black person, a Thomas Sowell comes out, or now Candace Owens or Kanye West or any of these black people that speak a little bit differently than what they're told to be allowed to say, once they speak, then suddenly all these white liberals or all these lefties and progressives tell you how horrible they are. So they seemingly are only okay with black people or gay people or Jews or basically any minority as long as you bow to them forever. I mean, that's really where we're at the moment.
Well, it's a weird, inconsistent point of view, which I've always said, which is like you go, yeah, well, Ben Carson, well, he's not really black.
Yeah,
he's not black anymore.
Yeah.
He starts talking about vouchers, and now he's not black.
Yeah.
You know, or whoever, you fill in the person that gives the wrong opinion.
Yeah, vouchers, which would give more choice to everyone, including black people, to figure out what school they want to go to. Nikki Haley is the, I think, one of the probably three decent politicians we have. Indian woman, former governor of South Carolina, right? And she's kicking ass in the UN. They hate her. It's like, shouldn't you be for this minority woman?
Not if you're for vouchers, not if you're for school choice.
Right.
Then you're the devil.
Right.
And it's so weird. The thing that's weird about it is you could be a female and you – I mean, look at Ali, who had the genital mutilation.
Ayaan Hirsi Ali, who to me is the greatest person on earth.
It's insane that you would try to – demonize and vilifies her as a female, as a minority, as someone who'd undergone genital mutilation, who wants to now speak out about that and Muslims and this practice and so on, that you could take her.
Yeah.
If, by the way, if you can take her, you can take anyone and toss them under a bigot bus or whatever. The idea that the far left or the liberal establishment hates her is as far of over jumping the shark as we could ever be politically. This woman embodies everything you guys espouse to love. Woman, strong woman, overcoming, immigrant, brown skin, female, genital mutilation, like everything, except for there's one part. She made a big mistake.
Yeah.
Well, she started getting critical of Muslims.
Well, not of Muslims, of Islam.
Oh,
which
of
is
Islam.
Different.
Sorry.
That is a doctrine.
Yes.
It is a set of ideas.
Much better point. She got critical of Islam, and now she's dead. Or I don't know what she is to them.
I know she lives with a tremendous amount of security. I can't even, I know more, but I can't even say more about that. I mean, think about it. I'm glad you brought her up because she is the litmus test for all of this. If you waffle for a second, if someone says Ayaan Hirsi Ali and you cannot figure out, if you know who she is, and within the microsecond you can't figure out what you think about her, then you actually have to reevaluate what you think. But that's also why you can't the idea of saying, I'm for black people, I'm for white,
Of course, it's racist. It's,
yeah.
Like, just be for people or be against genital mutilation or whatever it is. It's absolutely insane because what ends up happening, if this is your position, you have to then take folks like her and turn them into bad people
every time.
She's a hero.
Yep.
And then you have to take Al Sharpton, who's a horrible person, and turn him into a hero, which is insane. It's like you have a team. The guy's a wife-beating felon, but now he's playing on your team, and you have to say he's the greatest cornerback in the league. And you have someone else who never stops volunteering with the March of Dimes, but he got traded, and now you have to say he's a horrible person. They're both.
I hear you, brother.
Of color, one person agrees with you, the other person disagrees, and one person's the devil. It's the most flawed thinking in the world, and I wouldn't want to go car shopping, use car shopping with that person. They'd do everything based on color.
I wouldn't want to do much of anything with that person, actually, because also that set of ideas leads you to misery. If you wander around thinking that you know what everyone thinks because of the color of their skin or their sexuality or their gender or the rest, it's
bad news
horrible.
Bad news
I know you do it, Adam, and with this haircut now, it's really. But like, just imagine what a miserable existence that would be. It's just awful, actually.
you're gay, and that's not not your thing.
I mean, oh my God, a suit next to him.
Yeah,
I am
only starting at 10 o'clock at night.
I'm a huge fan of anybody who's anything, and it's not their thing. I mean, whether you're gay or you're black or you're whatever or you have asthma, like it's just not your thing. I love it. I love anybody who says like. Charles Krauthammer died recently.
Yeah.
This guy's been in a wheelchair since he was 22. He never brought it up. He didn't just want it to be a part of his thing.
I learned no idea.
You know what?
Really?
You can't. You don't know it because there are people who, if they're in a wheelchair, there are people who will weave it into an outgoing message on their cell phone.
Yeah.
And then there are people who you'll never know. I never knew Charles Krauthammer was in a wheelchair because anybody else who would have written op-ed pieces or whatever would have went as a wheelchair bound. I understand the pain and what it's like to know that blah blah blah. He didn't know it. And I love him because he didn't want you to know it. He wanted you to know his ideas, not what he was confined to.
Can I tell you something?
It wouldn't be a distraction.
Real quick on Krauthammer. So our buddy Dennis Prager did a thing for PragerU about a year ago, and Krauthammer was the keynote speaker. I think it actually might have been his last public appearance, or certainly one of his last two or three. And he came out in the wheelchair, an electric wheelchair. He does his speech. The only reference to anything about it was all about ideas and politics and all of that. He made one comment about how he never viewed his own life as being part of victimhood and all of that. And I was incredibly, incredibly inspired. So then the day that he died, a week or two ago, it's like watching all of these awful people just saying the worst things and the worst memes and all the things, all the things that they say about him. It's like, man, that guy lived with more dignity and more self-respect than you ever will. And yes, you may have disagreed with him politically, but you want to live in a society where you disagree with people politically. The places where you can't disagree with people politically are much worse places than this evil United States of America.
And he was always fast to disagree with whatever right-wing host was trying to get him to join in on their ideas or hatred for Obama or whatever it is.
He was not a Trump guy.
He would always go, it was intellectually honest. And all we want to know is that that's really your opinion. And I don't get why – I mean, I can never really figure out if people are doing it to hammer a check or they're doing it because they actually feel that way. I'm also kind of – it's also kind of weird to me that guys like Peter Fonda, who are 78 years old, would have this much at that age. Like,
It goes back to what I was saying. They're just miserable. They wander around in misery because it's about not taking responsibility for your life. If you believe in yourself as an individual with capacity to learn and to think and be empathetic and find someone in your life to love and all of those things, it's empowering. But if you believe that you are a victim of this world and the whole system is set up against you, you eventually will be 78 years old, have millions of dollars like Peter Fonda, and literally be tweeting that the president's son should be molested by a pedophile. I mean,
Yes, the thing that strikes me, both sides, when it comes to the late night evil tweeting, as we include Roseanne in this, is how uncomfortable are you? How unhappy are you? I mean, this is all coming from the inside of a mansion in Bel Air.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Isn't the simplest explanation with a guy like Peter Fonda specifically that he's an old hippie and old hippies never change? Like, he came up and like was codified as a hippie, like
the
Easy Rider and all
that
stuff.
That's exactly what's going on. But you just wonder at some point, go eat some watermelon with your grandkids and have a fresco.
Life for the land.
I tweet that all the time. It's like, go walk your dog. Do people get laid anymore? Go get laid. I mean, get out there. Do whatever you
engage.
Do.
Yes.
You like playing archery? Go do some archery.
Well, Dave, judging by your sexual proclivities, you're probably not a car guy, but I can tell you the
what do you think, gay people don't like cars?
Exactly what I'm saying. They like them. They just can't fix them. What I'm saying is this. Pop the hood on Miata. Let me have a look-see. Let's see.
I'm reporting you to the Southern Poverty Law Center.
So I found that all the car guys I know, and I hang out with a lot of car guys, are the least involved with any of this stuff. They want to talk about cars, and they want to get some grease on their cuticles. And they're not wringing their hands going
nuts. That sounded pretty gay.
Over grease in his water-soluble lube in those cuticles. they're happier because they have a distraction that is sort of tangible over here and something to look forward to doing versus just watching cable TV all weekend and then jumping on the computer and tweeting.
Yeah.
And there is an element, and I always encourage people, go volunteer or go rebuild an old Army Jeep in your garage or do something, have something to occupy you, to keep your hands busy, to keep your feet busy, and yeah. don't just sit and stare at the news and then jump on the computer or have your phone in your lap while you're watching it. I do find that people that have passions for mm-hmm. things that are outside of their den seem infinitely more happier and distracted, and oftentimes not even aware of, like, what did you hear what Trump said? It's like, no, I'm just in the garage.
But that it's not a coincidence. If you have meaning in your life, if there's something that you love to do, go do it. Go do it. Don't just sit there and talk about it and tweet about it and all of those things. I mean, this is why I've been trying to take weekends offline. I basically do it all the time. I'm doing August off the grid for now on. I did it last summer. Locked my phone in a safe. Literally did not know the code. I'm not kidding. No, I had no phone, no TV, no nothing. I didn't take calls. Literally nothing. I'm doing it again this August. Well, and I want to escape the madness.
His parents passed away. His dog ran away. This is real fun.
Yeah. He had no idea.
They foreclosed on my house.
Blood
it was a
warning,
real disaster.
Tsunami. No, I listen. See, Dave, the notion that you can be not gullible or malleable, but flexible and limber enough to just take in ideas and notions and hear them and then let them pass through your brain and your liver and go, that made sense to me, or it didn't, is a great posture to be in.
It is what I am. I don't know where that came from, but I can tell you this. Look, I'm on tour with Jordan Peterson. He is clearly the hottest public intellectual we have in the country right now.
Top of the charts of public intellectuals.
Who else is on the list? Do we have any other public intellectuals in the
list?
There's a couple.
He's got all the data. I just have the ideas.
The guy's got 30 years of clinical psychology practice and written many books and all that stuff. Look, I'm around this guy every night. I watch him do something different every single night, given these hour and a half lectures. We do a live Q&A together. We do some comedy. And it's like, I hear all those ideas. It doesn't mean I embrace or love every one of them, but I hear them. I take them in. I go, man, this guy's got a lot of information. I see him stretching the limits of his intellect every night. And then I can sit down with guys that disagree with him on the most fundamental questions, like Sam Harris, who I totally admire and respect. And it's like they disagree on literally the definition of truth. Like, they've been doing public events where all they talk about is the definition of truth, and 5,000 people a pop are paying around $100 to show up. They just did two shows last week and they're doing two more. And it's like, people want to hear that. They're sick. Why is your show working? It's the same reason. I mean, it's long form. Holy cow, we don't have all the answers, but we're going to explore this stuff. And that's a hell of a lot better than the crap that they're feeding you on all this clickbait stuff or on cable news.
I'm going to tease something for you, Dave.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to tease this. I watch almost every night, my wife and I will watch Rachel Maddow and Tucker Carlson, just trying to hear what everyone's spin is on many of the same subject. Tucker's great because people come, he always invites, you know, this is Hillary Clinton's campaign chairperson, and then they argue.
Then he beats them senseless.
Tucker puts me on all the time.
MSNBC right. won't put me on. People say, why don't you go on MSNBC? Why don't you go on CNN?
And
I can't freaking bust the door down.
Lynette says from the mouth of babes, she's like, why doesn't Jordan Peterson go on Rachel Maddow's show? And I go, she don't want to talk to Jordan Peterson. She has folks on her show that agree with her, and she doesn't want anything to do with Jordan Peterson. I do not believe. I don't know what the subject would be, but I don't want to argue with Jordan Peterson over what my kids' names are. I think he might beat me.
Yeah, he's good.
On that one. And I don't think Rachel wants Jordan Peterson in her studio, but you tell me about you, because you were liberal and gay.
Yeah.
And you tell me now that you're bi and conservative.
You've come a long way, Dave.
I've really upgraded you, Dave.
I'm really mixing it up. So what do you tee me up there for?
What
you give
is,
me there? I don't know what you're saying.
Are the same doors open for you as they were before? You know, come on this show, come on that show. Don't answer.
Well,
yeah, but if you noticed a change, are you welcome certain places or not welcome? I've seen you on Tucker Carlson a few times, so
Fox,
that's fine.
I mean, look, Fox.
Don't answer.
Give it 60 seconds.
It's a tease.
Now I understand what you mean by tease.
Do what your lady.
Sorry, I've been traveling a lot. And
what your lady does to your hair. We're teasing it.
Okay, got it.
MedMen, redefining the cannabis industry, premium shopping experience. And now through June 30th, it's coming up fast. Huge sales, 70% off your favorite brands like Bloom and Papa and Barkley, Triple J, and more. Plus, $10 off. For mentioning me, Gina Grad.
Yeah, there's no stigma anymore to this, and there's certainly no stigma over there. You go over to MedMen, you ask your questions you've always had, questions that you're trying to settle a bet. It doesn't matter. They have the answer. They're nice about it. They're very knowledgeable. The place is state-of-the-art. It's a great experience.
Highest quality and safety. Don't worry about what you're buying. The store's having a big sale. They're making room for a voluntary switch in their newer child-resistant packaging. So you can check out one of their 8 locations or check out all 8 of them. L.A., Orange County, San Diego, Vegas, or you can visit MedMen.com and find the store nearest you. MedMen, Dawson.
Visit MedMen until June 30th for 70% off. Visit MedMen until June 30th for 70% off select favorites and mention the Adam Carolla Show. For $10 off your order as well, check out MedMen today.
Dave Rubin, our studio guest, The Rubin Report. You can subscribe at YouTube and get weekly videos. I saw Dave getting into it with some college student.
Yeah.
Oh,
she was pretty. She was great. She was awesome.
She says she doesn't do it for free, so Dave offered her cash, and she said,
I'll give you $20.
Well, it's weird where Dave is just like, it is a weird world where I notice it with like my kids, where like they'll be arguing, 12-year-old twins, and I come in the bedroom and I go, look, it's Saturday, the sun's shining, you got a 110-pound lab, you got a swimming pool, you got a 60-inch TV. And I'm rich.
Damn, can I come over?
Can we just enjoy ourselves? Just enjoy ourselves. Like, let's go do something. What do you want to do? You want to go to the beach? You want to take a walk? Whatever it is. You guys shouldn't be in the room with the door closed screaming at each other. You get out of the room. Go swim in the swimming pool. You go watch the 16-inch TV. And let's enjoy our lives. Because we're rich. And we can.
World's
and then I'll
stuff.
Go in like in the next room, and 40 seconds later, I'm going, you're not the boss of me! And then someone's like crying. And I'm like, all I do is go, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not just enjoy ourselves?
You got an extra room?
Yo, you're welcome anytime.
You know that thing that you're talking about. So it was at University of New Hampshire, and which, of course, New Hampshire, live free or die, or as the protesters want, live free and bow forever. That's really what they want from you. Or live subjugated or something. But anyway, the best moment in that wasn't even that girl. There was a trans woman sitting in the back who kept yelling at me that I hate trans people. So I turned to her and I said, look, I have nothing but respect for trans people. I want you to have equal rights, equal opportunity. I hope people are respectful to you. I hope you find someone in life that loves you. The only thing that I would say is that we can't have the government telling people what pronouns to use to refer to you. Do you want those people to be put in jail? Do you want them to be fined? I said, I want for you that you will be treated respectfully, but that's not the purview of the government to do that sort of thing. You know, she basically told me to go F myself and a whole bunch of other stuff. It then turned out, I didn't know this for about a month, found this out about 2 weeks ago, the woman is a professor of gender studies at the university. So she's literally she's screaming me down. She's tweeting. She was live tweeting the event that I'm alt-right and all the rest of this nonsense. She's a professor. I mean, it's not a real thing, gender studies. It's not a peer review. It's not like an actual discipline. But like, think about that. That professors can now show up. They have the balls to show up to try to silence speakers. She's not going to get in any trouble because of this. And it's like, what are you? What are you doing to people's minds? I know what you're doing to people's minds, but it's not what you think you're doing.
What back to the question about you being formerly gay commentator, now sort of Republican gay commentator.
Well, I'm not a Republican.
Or writer, more conservative than you certainly were. And I think a lot of people just see he's a gay man. All right, he's on our side, or we got him. Yeah. We know where to put him. Now, no box can
Well, it's the same thing we talked about with Larry, right? It's the same thing. Oh, you're a black conservative? You're a sellout or something.
Right. So are the doors open for you to show up wherever you want and speak? And are you invited? Could you go on a Rachel Maddow show and get into it with her?
I've never been invited to anything on MSNBC. I've never been invited to anything on CNN. HLN, your buddy Dr. Drew used to put me on HLN every now and again. But Fox puts me on all the time. I did Tucker last week. Gutfeld brings me on. We do it live and unedited. And guess what? If I'm live and unedited, I will trust that I can figure out what to say in the course of that time. I would never do any of those shows on any network if it wasn't live. But the other guys don't invite me. So what do you want me to do? You know what I mean? It's like,
you can, no, I think you get it. I think from watching the shows on both sides, and I think it's a bigger narrative or bigger theme, which is Rachel Maddow lives more in an echo chamber. Tucker Carlson is always going to think the way he thinks, but he's going to have people on who doesn't think the way he thinks at all, and then they're going to get into it. Now, you can go, well, maybe it's just for ratings. I don't know.
Trust me.
It makes it more interesting. But the thing that's kind of interesting is the aforementioned Charles Krauthammer, who is on Tucker Carlson's side. When they start talking about tariffs or something else, then they're going to argue over that. So it's not just a love fest all the time, which I think atrophies your muscles a little bit. I think like the ladies on The View are getting kind of soft because they surround themselves with more women who think like them. It's an echo chamber. Like,
when was The View actually great? Those two seasons where Rosie was having the blowout every day with Elizabeth Hasselbeck, mostly because of the sexual tension. But, you know, it's like, that's when it was real, because Elizabeth, whether you liked her or not, was staking out what I believe was an authentic position of hers, which was pretty much a conservative, and she was for the Iraq War and a bunch of other stuff. And Rosie was taking the progressive thing, and they battled it out every day, and it was real. I don't watch The View anymore. I heard something happened to Whoopi's vagina today, or something.
What?
Oh.
Breaking. Did she break it?
She told Meghan McCain she didn't want her in her vagina.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, this is
put an M80 in there. It's funny. You write the thing. Yeah.
But there is more intellectual flexibility on one side. Why can I keep bringing Shapiro onto my show and tell him that I'm pro-choice and I'm gay married and I'm against the death penalty and a bunch of other things, and we can agree to disagree and have a healthy conversation about that, where it's simply becoming increasingly and more increasingly difficult to find people on the progressive side, which has now sort of taken over the entire Democratic Party, who will argue honestly. I'm talking about not with personal attacks, not with at the end getting you to round five and now going you're racist or the rest of it. This group of people, they just don't really exist anymore. I'm not saying there's none of them, but in the public sphere, where are the Adam Carolla of that side with the podcast? Where is that person? Where is the Joe Rogan of that?
Adam Carolla. Oh, I see. Where is, right. Yeah, I got a podcast.
I'm a guy like me. Yeah.
It's interesting. I've talked to, I'm just like me. I can't even tell me apart.
Yeah. You have better hair than you.
I've talked to Drew about this a few times, and he thinks everything's insane and wants to know when it's going to end. And I always say, I think the reason there's been, you know, Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
Unlikely hero. I interviewed him long form, like a 2-hour interview at my other shop about, God, Matt could probably check my schedule, but less than a year ago. And I was like, who's Jordan Peterson? It's like, he's a Canadian guy. He's got thoughts, you know? And I'm like, okay. And they're like, well, sit down and interview him. And thank God I never rely on preparation. So I just sat down and interviewed him. And when he left, I thought, well, there's a nebbishy guy who doesn't, not exactly what you'd call it.
You know,
doesn't have it, you know. And his hair was a little funny and his sweater was a little funny. And he's going back to, you know, Alberta or something. And I was like, all right, well, that's kind of an interesting conversation. But I remember thinking he wasn't charismatic. Once in a while, I would say to him, you know, so I know you probably take a lot of heat from folks on the left and whatever. And he'd go, yeah, I do, but I take heat from those on the right. Like, he never just went along. He wasn't kind of yes man. And he didn't sort of pick up what you were putting down, per se.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, all right. And I was impressed by his knowledge, but I wasn't blown away by him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that guy would be selling out arenas but and that, turned into a media darling. It's because Maxine Waters went nuts that created Jordan Peterson. Now, that's my feeling. He wouldn't he wouldn't have existed 5 years ago. There would have been no need for him. Clinton, Obama, whatever, the sort of even people. I think that the nuttiness of the Fondas and the Waters have actually given him this platform now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree with that basic premise. I mean, on the first part, I would say the fact that, yeah, he wore, you know, now he dresses a little bit better.
He got a publicist.
I don't know if he has a publicist, but, you know, now he's taken care of that part. And I do think he's charismatic in his own way. But yes, he is not a television personality. He's not a comic. He's not a trained performer. I mean, we've been doing these theater shows. It's the first theater shows he's ever done. He goes up there, and I'm telling you, an hour and a half different every night, this guy. Mm-hmm. And he is as close to the real deal as there can be. That every moment I have spent with him, on stage, off stage, is exactly the same. He cares about these things. He does not lie. He is honest. He is decent. But yes, your premise is basically right. That's the only reason I'm sitting here. If the left had not gone completely bananas, all I started to do a couple of years ago when I started seeing the underpinnings of this was talk about it. That's it. I started going, wait a minute. Not everybody could be a racist that disagrees with you. Not everybody's a homophobe because they don't believe in gay marriage the day you decide you believe in it. Barack Obama ran against gay marriage his first term, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, once I started talking about that, then suddenly people started listening. So it's like, if the left had not gone so bananas, Maxine Waters, who should probably be in a mental institution. I mean, that stuff that you just played, that is legit, crazy, dangerous stuff. I mean, hunt down. I mean, she's basically saying, go to Nordstrom, find a Trump supporter, hunt them down, lock them in the closet, call in everybody. Like, I mean, she's basically there. And that, and what they want to keep doing is expanding the definition of who you can do that to. And they think it'll be everyone but them. But of course, it eventually comes for them, too. I mean, this history repeats itself, and this happens over and over.
Well, it's definitely happened that a lot of liberal Democrat, you know, professors or whatever, like the guy at Evergreen who just went
Brett Weinstein.
Yeah, Brett Weinstein.
Fighting racism.
He's like
a racist.
Super Jewy liberal guy at a super progressive school just went like, no, I'm not going to stay home on a day where white people have to stay home, which is kind of a racist thought in 2018. Then they're going to hunt him down.
They literally hunted him down. And by the way, who put Brett Weinstein on cable news? Tucker Carlson on Fox. Who didn't? CNN, MSNBC, et cetera, et cetera. So what does that consistently tell you?
Well, it says
something. It says something.
There's a narrative, and he is going to screw with their narrative because he's not the senator from Alabama with the mistress. He's the progressive Jewish guy who's teaching liberal arts, you know. So he's screwing with their narrative. What I'm saying is, and it's almost impossible. Look, it's impossible to be an umpire at your kid's Little League game and not have some thoughts, if he beat out that grounder to first base versus a stranger's kid. But it is your job to either call it safe or out, whether the ball got there first or your son's foot touched the bag first. Now, everybody, no one's ever going to get that right because there's feelings involved, and you want your son to be safe on first and all that. One second, Brian. But you have to think, I can't have a narrative as an umpire. It can't be if my son is pitching and the ball sails over the catcher's head into the backstop, I can't yell strike two.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause then people are going to look at me and go, well, wait a second. And if you're MSNBC, you have to go, we kind of wish Hillary would have won, and we don't like Trump. He's a jackass, but we still got to put Brent Weinstein on, or whatever his name is. We got to put him on 'cause it's kind of in the news, and it'll look like we have a narrative if we don't invite him on. That's what I'm saying.
I hate to tell you, Adam, they do have a narrative, and they're not in the business of news. They're in the business of views, and they want views, and we've been pilfered off into our own little sides, and you get completely different news depending on what you watch. I mean, you know this, but the beauty of this whole thing is that these networks are crumbling. I actually think in most respects, the ideas that we're talking about are actually starting to win, and that's why everyone's getting more hysterical, because the mainstream has completely lost the narrative, and nobody's buying this nonsense anymore. anymore. If you look, nobody cares what these people think anymore. I mean, to pick the top 10 CNN anchors and look what they're tweeting about, and they get 7 retweets. And then you look at what's going on with Jordan Peterson or Brett Weinstein or you or any of these other people, and it's like there are people who have been outside of the system trying to figure out what's going on, and people realize it's real and it's authentic, and we may not always be right, but we're trying to do something that's a little more honest.
Brian had a question, comment.
I was going to say, based on Jordan Peterson, you guys talk about why you think he's sort of this surge in popularity. From my point of view, I love Jordan Peterson, but I think there are people who think the way I do, which is a big problem in this country on both sides is this anti-intellectualism, this rejection of intellectualism, whether it's flat earth or intelligent design or all little boys and little girls are exactly the same, or climate change is this rejection of what we should know and agree with, but we're still stuck in the mire of, no, let's debate whether or not this is true. It's like, let's move on and talk about what the solution is or the problem is. Jordan Peterson is a guy who cuts to the chase, you know, and will tell you this is the data, this is the issue, this is the problem, or this is why it is the way it is. And he cuts through all that. He dismisses all of the mishigas, you know.
I agree. But in order to have a truth teller rise to prominence, a uncharismatic truth teller,
what we need is the hero we need.
You have to have a whole bunch of bullshit in the ether that everyone's so tired of treading through that you go from charismatic people that you go, I just want some goddamn truth. That's the thing that's crazy to me is when they call him some sort of merchant of hate or something like that. It's like he's as much a merchant of hate as an oncologist giving you a diagnosis that you don't want to hear about breast cancer. Like, he's literally passing on information.
Why do you hate my boobs?
Yes.
I'm telling you, come to the show tonight in Long Beach. These shows are love fests. Everyone there's a huge, it's not just the diversity that we know certain side cares about your color and all that. Although there is plenty of that, and I've met black Muslim people there and white lesbians and old ladies with limps and everything in between. And there was a group of women. It was a grandmother's group. So there was all these women in their late 60s and early 70s all there, a bunch of different colors and all that stuff to listen to him. And it's like, trust me, all he's doing is telling people, clean your room, get your shit together. If you want to change the world, start fixing yourself a little bit. I mean, it's not rocket science, although I think a lot of the things that he then goes on the outside for and how he talks about archetypes and religion and all that stuff is close to rocket science, at least at this level of ideas.
But the genesis is take care of yourself.
Yeah, is just get your shit together so that when the world, which is out of control, keeps getting more out of control, you don't add to the chaos. That's why the book is called 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos. That's all he's doing. And yes, you're completely right. If these freaks had not gone completely off the deep end, there would be far less value in some common sense.
Personal question for Dave Rubin. I'm going to tease.
There's another tease.
You have to wait, Dave.
Now I know what it is. Okay.
All right.
I'll take a sip of water.
As a gay man, presumably you'd have a partner who would not be down with the song stylings of Larry Elder or Dennis Prager.
He loves that Michael McDonald, though.
So now it's fine. He met you when you were old. Fashion gay, progressive gay.
OG gay.
I met my wife at a Klan rally, so we're cool.
She knows what the deal
steady
is.
Steady as she goes.
She was serving drinks.
I helped her off her horse. She held a cross that was soaked with kerosene, and a match was made. But you come home and go, hey, I talked to a conservative black man. He's changed a couple of thoughts I had in my head. How does that work on the home front? This is a personal question.
Explosive.
I'll let you think about that first. I'll tell you about True Car. Yeah, you need a car. You want to go used. You want to go new. You always go True. True Car. Here's a tip for you. They have certified dealers. They have a network of certified dealers. They're nationwide. They have an inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. You can enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. Whether you want a new car, used car, you see what other people paid. apples to apples. See the exact car that they got. You'll know exactly what they paid. And then you get your certificate and you go into your certified dealer and you lock it down. Enjoy a faster buying experience. And again, the certified dealers are competing with one another to give you the best price as well. So when you're looking to buy new or used, you go to True Car for more enjoyable, confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. So, Dave, how's this work on the home front?
It's
easy.
I didn't seem to think of that.
Really. That's real good.
It's actually, well, Gina knows my husband, David, and he's a great guy, and he's extremely open in general. But there were times before my sort of political awakening where he would say something, usually about economics, and I'd be like, I think you're a conservative. Because he couldn't understand taxes.
You guys are both closeted conservatives.
The more that you keep making more, you keep producing more, that means they're going to take more from you. A lot of things along those lines. He never was in debt because he didn't have a credit card because he never wanted to spend money that he didn't have.
Right.
That's just what his dad taught him.
Right.
So he just didn't have that thing in him. So economically, he was kind of there already. I'm certainly there now, and I'm definitely more libertarian in that way. So it's actually been fine. And I would say in general, if there is a community, although I hate that word, the gay community is actually starting to wake up. I mean, I think it's happening in the black community. I think it's happening in the gay community because they're realizing the Democrats don't own you. They don't own anyone because of your color or your sexuality or whatever else. And especially as the real far left, which I think has taken over pretty much all of the left at this point, they have this odd fascination with Islam, and Islam is simply bad for everyone, including Muslims. There is no place that the ideas of Islam have spread that is good for any of the things that the left pretends to care about, freedom and women's rights and gay rights and equality and any of those things. Yet the left has this odd alliance with it, and we could do that, but that's a whole other show. It has a lot to do with just centralizing power and then taking a bunch of useful idiots and then eventually knocking them off too, and blah, blah, blah.
Yes. It is. It's so counterintuitive to think all you do is care about, all you talk about is gay rights and women's rights and stuff like that. And then you have a group with the worst voting record on gay rights and women's rights in the world. And somehow, whenever there's an argument, you're defending that group, which it is like backwards land or something in that particular subject, for sure.
Yeah, but in this oppression Olympics that the left has created, they put Islam at the top of it because they believe it's a brown religion, which in itself is actually racist because there are white Muslims and there are black Jews and every color, there are Asian Christians and all sorts of other things. So they've created this odd alliance, but then I think what you see is, and it, you know, a lot of this started for the gays. I think it happened in that Orlando Pulse shooting, where the left was bending over backwards to imply that this had nothing to do with religion, even though the guy himself was saying it had something to do with religion. And it was like, wait a minute, so now you're throwing us under the bus too. And I think we're going to consistently see this, and it's why Candace Owens has really done a massive job. Whether you agree with her thoughts on Trump or not, and sometimes I think she goes overboard on some of that stuff. I know her and like her. It's like that whole Kanye thing happened, and what happened the week after? Black male support for Trump doubled from 11 to 22%. It's like, that's real. If that had happened under any other president, the media would be bowing and freaking out, and this is the greatest president of all time. They've created Orange Hitler, so obviously you can't
the,
do that.
The worst high C flavor ever.
Failed experiment. Yeah.
I thought Mountain Blast was a bad name, but Orange Hitler.
They went too far.
Focus groups didn't like it.
No, thank God it only went out to a couple of stores on the West Coast. The Pulse nightclub thing was crazy because they turned it into some sort of gay execution, and that he was gay and that whatever. And then, of course, I don't know why they just took off and ran with that. And then later on, of course, they found out it had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
And he wanted to kill people, not gay people. But
no, it was a coincidence. It was a coincidence, Adam. Total coincidence he showed up at the gay club. Yeah.
It was a crazy, crazy story. All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a quickie break. We'll come back and do a fast news right after this.
Corolla Drinks presents Bands in the Sand, July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach, featuring Mo Lauda and The Humble. Mo Lauda and The Humble, plus Roses and Cigarettes. Loxy.
The Smoking Kills. Just another Southern California. The Beach is free. The Mangria and Endless Rant IPA and Lager will cost you a little bit. Mo Lauda and The Humble. You couldn't tell by now. Headlines, Bands in the Sand. You need to save your- July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Join us as we get it on the beach. For more, follow at Corolla Drinks and visit AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
The news with Grad, news with Gino Grad, breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad, trouble in the Middle East, celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Fox News reports that an airlines group representing nine major carriers has asked the Department of Transportation to limit the type of emotional support animals allowed on flights to just dogs. The airlines group argues that American Airlines...
We've drawn a line.
And there's a giant picture of a massive peacock going through a security check. 40% increase of support animals on board from 2016 to 2017, and that the reported incidence of emotional support animals urinating, defecating, biting has also increased by a lot.
I saw something on TMZ yesterday where a rapper had bought a ticket, said he was allergic to a dog, and then there's a woman with a dog behind him, but this was a seeing eye dog.
Yeah.
But still, there's got to be a lot of people allergic to dogs who have to fly in these confined spaces that recirculate the air for 6 hours. It's just, again, unintended consequences. You start off with this, it spirals out of control. There's a dog on every flight. I told everyone what was going to happen, and it just kept happening. You cannot trust people to do the right thing. If you just tell
the
them, look, you can get a note from a fake doctor and fly with your dog if you want, but don't do it unless you really need it. That ain't going to work.
They're going to do it.
Everything like that. Look no further than religion. Now, I get it. Everyone treats the IRS the same way, which is, how do I get around a bunch of stuff? I'm going to call this office at home, my wife's work office, so I could write off my printer or whatever it is. Like, that's who we are. We will do that with everything, every time. The Shabbos Goyim is someone you
great when he says that?
Pay to turn on your and off your electronic devices on the Sabbath because you can't do it yourself. That is a complete IRS.
That's
an offshore account for religion.
It's clearly what God intended, but he wanted you to honor the Shabbos.
Yeah. I'm saying if we're wired as human beings that I'm going to beat God on a technicality, omnipotent, all-seeing, all-knowing, eye in the sky, by getting the blonde kid from across the street to come to my house and flip on my Cuisinart on a Saturday. If that's how we're wired, that we can beat that, then how do you think we feel about the airlines?
They only had more rules, more than God.
I hate the rules. I hate the rules too. So I'm always kind of, the rules should have always just been, you can't fly with a pet.
Yeah.
That's it.
I have a service monkey with me right now. You can't see it, but
Wow.
Trust me, it's here, Corolla.
Actually, he has a great rescue dog that was rescued from Katrina.
That's right. Yeah. 14 years old.
Little Emma.
Wow.
She's a good one. Well, they're trying to put this genie back in the bottle. Airlines for America asked the department to limit emotional support animals to trained dogs that comply with the ADA.
Somebody tweeted me a picture of a woman and I guess her husband out to eat, and they do the thing that drives me nuts. Dog sitting on the table, just bare ass. No. Where your burrito and chips are going to go in a half an hour when you show up and they set up on the table. If there's ever a place a dog could chillax, it'd be out with the umbrella and the table, and you just take the leash and you tie it around the chair. You want to know something that was a part of my childhood that is not going to be a part of my kids' childhood, which I do frequently, which I walk around my neighborhood with my dog all the time. And before I go into the store, I tie him up outside and I walk in the store.
That is really rare now. As a kid,
I remember walking into supermarkets and other liquor stores and stuff like, oh, there's a dog out front. I wonder if he's a friendly dog. I used to want to sort of venture to pet the dog or if he looked okay or his tail was wagging. You don't see any dogs anymore, and it's not because we don't have dogs, and it's not because people don't walk with dogs, it's because they're in the fucking store with the dog.
Yep.
Sorry. Kaylin, you'll find that picture. It was sent to me a couple of days back. I don't even know if I favorite tweeted, but I did answer it. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge before you go on there. Mm-hmm. Tech advances have made engines smaller, more powerful. They've had to work harder. That's why you need Castrol Edge. It's made with liquid titanium technology. It delivers under the most demanding circumstances. And you can check out a really cool video that they made. It is a driver versus the computer and see whose skills are superior. You can check it out at Castrol USA YouTube page. That's Castrol USA YouTube page. All right, let's do one more.
Well, Ron Jeremy's in some trouble. Oh. Adult film legend could be in trouble for a sexual encounter that happened when there was no cameras around. TMZ reports that a Washington State woman went to police after Jeremy made a promotional appearance in Tacoma. She claimed he'd assaulted her, but prosecutors declined to take up the case. Now the alleged victim has filed a civil suit asking for damages because the actor, quote, violently groped her breast when she agreed to have him autograph them. She also accuses him of pulling her shirt down and sucking her nipple as she tried to exit the event.
Wait, did you catch the one key line in that?
She asked her to sign them. She asked him to sign
them. He violently grabbed them when she asked him to sign them.
I mean,
that's just a regular greeting from Ron.
The hedgehog is now going to get sucked into the Me Too thing. I don't really see any difference between him and Chris Hardwick. I got
to
be honest.
Really?
With you.
Same person to you? Or
to me,
done. Yeah.
They're both heroes. Sexual predators or heroes. Yeah.
Sexual predator heroes.
God. I think sometimes porn stars are sort of like rock stars in that they act like you think they want them to act. So when she said, sign my boob, he went, into full Ron Jeremy.
I'll give you the Ron Jeremy you're expecting.
Yeah. Right.
Every rock star you ever take a picture with does the devil horns. Like, you know, the guys in their 50s, like, and every single boxer you take a picture with, all right, put those dukes up. And it's like, you don't have to be a caricature of yourself.
Find any picture of Ozzy Osbourne with a fan in the last 20 years, and he's doing the crazy tongue out, like, devil
he's
thing.
He's not just giving a thumbs up like
Clinton.
He's
this meek, like, shuffling dude the rest of the time. It's like, Ozzy has a camera. Devil. Yeah.
That's basically what Ron did with her titty.
Yep, that's exactly right.
That's exactly how
it works. He's giving her the Ron he thinks she's expecting.
Right. Do you have that picture? I think we have it. Somebody tweeted me. It's they're sitting outside at a cafe, and the dog's ass is right in the middle of the table. And
any chance they were serving dog for lunch?
It would have been nice.
That's just an appetizer.
Vietnamese restaurant.
I'm just saying.
Gina, please.
That's your dog. It's your dog's ass and your dog's dander, and it's just on a table where people are going to show up and bring food after you guys leave. Please be ashamed of this. Could we just have one of the two people in the couple, when they're bringing Muffin up to the table, go, and they should be on put them on terra firma because other people are going to come out here with trays full of food and eat, okay? All right, everyone. Let's get our shit together. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
You're not the boss of me!
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, we got Geico. I got an idea for you people. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere? Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. You take that extra money, put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day. That's Geico. Geico.com. Spend a couple of minutes and find out just how much you could be saving at Geico. All right. For us, you can go to AdamCarolla.com. I got a new website. Lots of good swag on there. And it'll tell you where the live shows are. And you come say hi. And, of course, the Rubin Report. Subscribe on YouTube and get the weekly videos. And, of course, tonight, Long Beach with Jordan Peterson. Long Beach Terrace Theater tickets at Ticketmaster.com and check them out on Facebook at The Rubin Report and Twitter at Rubin Report. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure. The world needs more Dave Rubins. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Dave Rubin and Travis Pastrana and Gina Grad Mulbrien saying mahalo.
Gina,
you have made yourself more fat.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Come and check out Lynette Carolla tonight. Lynette and J-Jo and Patrick are all out at Antique Bar and Bakery in New Jersey. Doing a mangria tasting. Again, that's Antique Bar and Bakery in New Jersey. Go to antiquebarbakery.com for more info on that. For call-in times and phone topics, follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And for tickets and info on everything we're doing, go to adamcarolla.com.